Good morning and welcome to Brass Tack Sunday. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane, and we go to quarter after one this afternoon. The topic today, we are revisiting the whole idea of fathers, men, the judiciary, the police service, and how we are operating. Now, we are re-examining this because I've seen a number of stories and I've heard the increasing voices of the men, increasing in numbers and increasing in volume. Today, I want to particularly examine, is it the case of men being unfair? Is it a case of just the judiciary and how it works? I want to get down to the bottom of it all and also look at solutions coming out of today's program. So I want to welcome and I want to thank our resident father advocate, Cammy Holder. I want to thank you for organizing the panel today. We are expected to be joined late by Faith Marshall Harris. She is a former magistrate and she is an attorney, family advocate with the United Nations. I knew she used to do some work with them. I think she's still continuing in another capacity. So I want to thank you, Cammy. I want you to introduce your guests and I also want you to tell me a bit of what you're expecting from today's program.
Well, first I want to introduce Eric Springer, who is a father with some concerns. And we also have a good friend in named Ken Husbands who can share a story of a friend of many years ago. So welcome, guys.
Good morning. Welcome.
What I'm hoping to achieve is that we can get the police to understand that men are humans. I also want the judiciary to understand that due process, natural justice dictates that men are given a fair hearing. I'm hearing too many instances where men are claiming they're going to court and being told they don't want to hear from you. While the women is given the highest level of respect. I'm hearing also of instances where there are many cases where it's malicious prosecution, where men are being denied access to children on flimsy reasons, such as, oh, he touched the child inappropriately. And I know of a recent case where it was insisted.
Well, hold a minute, I don't want to cut your stride, but touching a child inappropriately is not a flimsy reason. It's a very serious.
Malicious prosecution. Mm-hmm. We're saying that if you have a son or daughter and you're being.
But I want us to distinguish between malicious prosecution in that it is not true and a flimsy reason.
Okay.
In that it is a serious offense.
Okay.
So let's continue. I just want to make sure that I don't go like that, you know? Okay, go ahead.
We also have the issue where there are malicious protection orders being taken out by men. A guy told me of a situation whereby he and his girlfriend had altercation. She was the aggressor. He went and he laid a complaint in the station. The fellas laughed at him. But you know what happened 2 days afterwards? The police turned up and arrested him because the woman went the next day's station. Those are the sort of things that we need to discuss because you cannot speak to natural justice and due process. Our men are denied an opportunity of a fair hearing in this country.
What I want to say here on the upfront is that we want to put it out there before we get the usual. Oh, they're bad men and bad fathers, bad women, bad mothers. They're good men, bad men. Good fathers, bad fathers. Good mothers, bad mothers. What I want to dissect, what I want to investigate, what I want to interrogate today is if the anecdotal instances that you are bringing today equates to an overall culture or if it is anecdotal. That is one of the things I want to investigate. Is this a culture? I am going to be bold and in the upfront, I'm going to say, yes, it is a culture because from primary school, from secondary school, this is what happens and it continues into further in life in the judiciary. I remember in secondary school, there were particular teachers, a boy, a girl do something, the boys, they get the tail cut, as we would say in Bayesian parlance, and the girls, oh, Kadir, don't do that again. And I think that kind of judgment continues. I can go further with this, but before we go any further, it will be remiss of me not to let you know this program is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have-
have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Cane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
I just want for all of us to understand what it is that we are up against early o'clock. I am here peeping in to our blog and our chats or WhatsApp and so on. And there is a sentiment I'm picking up here. Look at these women haters and talk shop and all these kind of things. And I want to say from the upfront, listening to both sides or even four sides of this issue, this is very serious on all sides. If you have a case where men feel so aggrieved that they become suicidal, and some of them have participated in murder, suicides, and so on, I take it to that extent to show these people, to show these persons that you are talking about the emotions, the feelings, the life, the livelihood of partners, men, women, and children. That this is not anything to be glossed over with frivolous comments about women haters. Because if they're women herders, I don't think they would have been here to start with. But let me hear from our guests. We play a short clip and then we open the telephone lines. Good morning and welcome.
Morning. Let me say this across. Let me start by saying this, huh? Let me correct Cammy a little bit in introducing ourselves, because for me, this is a program where we are trying to launch an association for men. An association not only for men that have children, but association for all men. Because at some point in time, a man will get a child, huh? And let me make this clear first thing first, because I got a lot of people that would oppose us in terms of what we are trying to achieve, especially women. We don't hate women. I don't hate women. For the amount of stuff that I've been through in my life with my kids, I don't hate them. Right? You can't hate a woman. You hate what they do, but you shouldn't hate women. So it's not that we're against all women, or we're coming out here to bash women. We're coming out here for any equal rights that we are, that is for us, yeah, as men. Just like any other woman that would come up with any group for their rights, men back them. You got the Cancer Society, you got all different societies that women form, that men have pushed behind them. Get them there, get it exposed, right? All men want are their rights to their kids. That's all men want. If you look around the country now, you see how hard it is with everybody. The economy bad, no work. But when you get to that point where you cannot financially support your child, it is not only about money. Support comes in a lot of different ways, right? And that's what we're trying to get across the board, especially when you're going to the magistrate courts. Now, it's in a lot of these cases, and I always say this from day one, when I was talking to Cammy and the other guys, no court in Barbados can summarize a lifetime, a 15-year span of trouble trying to get a child in 15, 20 minutes. No court, no magistrate can do it. And that's why I find a lot of, by listening to most of the guys, I find a lot of these guys have the same problem. A lot of these guys got the problem where they're going to magistrate courts and it happened to me. Magistrate look at me and tell me, oh, you're telling lies. You're a liar. Although I had evidence to show, I was told it was a liar. You understand? Now, this is one of the hampering things that men got.
I've heard this story so many times.
I
saw a guy, he brought a video for me, and his child mother had won custody. And it was a case where he took this video of the child mother engaging in some X-rated activity. She took it to the child care board, she took it to the court. And he took it to the child care board and the court, and it was dismissed. and was saying, he reported that he was told, you're very malicious for trying to embarrass your child mother like this. Now, I've heard all these stories. One of the things I want to interrogate in this program also is, if these things are true, who holds the court accountable? Who holds the court accountable?
There's no.
Want to underline that, and I want to put that in bold, and I want to put a big question mark behind that. Let's go over to our very, very special guest also this morning. Good morning and welcome.
I was trying to see who this very, very special guest was. Good morning again. Welcome, everybody. Corey, my emotions are raw and tender when it comes to this matter of men being unfair in the world, Barbados, if you like. It goes really, really far back. It seems that there have always been a threat out, if you like, against the male child. If you remember, I think it was Herod that says, kill everything that pisseth against the wall. Now, only the male pisseth against the wall. You know, from way back, it was against the male child. You went only as far as when you were going to school. But let's come a little closer to 2018. I've had a very, very good friend of mine who he was in court with his divorce. And the attorneys spoke for either side. You know, the applicant, the respondent. And then the judge looked at the lady and said, kindly and politely, madam, you have anything to say, you may say, you know. And she spoke. And then he looked at the man and said, can we go in here? Said, no. Burst out in tears. Fella burst out in tears. He made a criminal of him there and then. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. That is a fact.
He already would feel that judgment has been made on him. There's no fairness.
You understand?
And these are things that we would take lightly. You would hear that you're a man.
He then had there's another man too. Yes. Mm-hmm. He then had hell. Mm-hmm. He had to support the child. Mm-hmm. He then had hell to see the child. But he expected to be a father. No, these are facts. Whether we love men, whether we love women, hate them or whatever. I'm not going in that emotional side. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with the facts. That is a fact. How can he then be a proper father if he cannot see his child? And the ladies brag, you got to support my child, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can't see him. These are the things, the reason why I opted to stay on when you asked me to. Because unless we make it clear what is our problem, we don't know. I personally was at the home. I stopped by my friend while he was doing some work. Wife came home making a noise about another woman. I'm really serious. Mm-hmm. Making a noise about another woman. And then a noise broke down. Fight broke down. Ladies dress get tearful and thing because man and woman fighting. Police come. Skipper, you saw we got this woman? I said, excuse me. I want to hear you. I said, you don't want to hear me? I said, well, listen, friend, you better hear me because I was here before the wife came home. So if you don't hear me now, it's likely that you'll have to hear me in court. And then he said, okay, let me hear what you're going to say. And I told him, well, what happened? And he says, all right then. But my point is...
That's why I asked you to stay on, because I think a voice like yours on this brings some credence and credibility to what is being said in addition to the other voices that we are hearing. And I want to dissect, and that the reason I use the word dissect is that if you throw everything into the pot where you have bad men and all, it gets
a little confusion
and it gets very emotional.
So we're not...
I want to deal with the ones who are actually innocent. I want to deal with the ones who actually want to be a father. I want to deal with the ones who are actually supporting, but I'm not getting that opportunity to spend the time. And I'm not picking out any one or two cases. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with those cases that are legitimate. I'm dealing with that this morning.
And
how do we hold to account the court for these things?
And the reality and the reality of what has happened out there. I sit here week after week and hear programs of relationships. And they are as biased as 2 to 100.
Yep.
2 to 98. As biased, whenever it is clear, I mean, nobody says, well, look, men, you know, I'm waiting still, I'm crossing myself. I'm waiting still to hear that organization. Not the women's organization or the men's organization, but I'm waiting still to hear somebody start an organization that says, listen, men and women have to work together, to live together.
That's the organization that we intend.
I want to hear that. I want to be part of that organization.
But that is the organization.
I am not interested in the men's organization.
That we are starting.
When you listen to a man's organization or the men's organization, anywhere in the world, you begin to hate women when you see all the injustice.
Let me show you.
Stand by. And when you listen to a woman's organization, you begin to hate men.
Well, yeah. We had a time, so we didn't want that at all.
I want shit on the line.
And now used to be a verbal war.
Oh, good Lord.
And I said, well,
you said war.
The men and women could only fight then. You understand? But if you start from a premise as a man, and this is what Ken trying to tell you, and I want you to respond. If you all start from the premise as a man, you've been unfair in the court system as a man. To start an organization like what Ken talking about is a little hard unless you got a real genuine heart for what he is talking about.
Well, let me tell you this now.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you this.
Let me hear it.
We also have women who are some of our strongest supporters backing us, right? There are women out there that are going through some of the same. No, let me get this wrong. There are women, good women, that out there going through some of the same issues with men. Now, this organization, and I, from day one, Cammy will say this to you. I told Cammy, as I am a man or you are my friend, and you do not support your child in any form or fashion, you can't be my friend. You understand what I'm saying? So this group is not, don't think that you could come and join this group and hide behind these skirts and you're supporting your child, because I'm supporting you. And I've made that clear from day one. You understand? I got some youngsters in the group that were very angry, but women, I had to tell them, listen to me when they need to calm yourselves. Calm yourselves. You cannot go around hating women. Because you, I mean, and it's hard. Why it's hard? Because when I look at some of these youngsters is 18, 19. These men ain't started to see life yet. And they are hating women. So I had to tell one youngster that went to court yesterday, I said, you need to calm down. Settle it yourself. He was angry. You can't go wrong hating women. This group is not formed to hate women. This group is formed to get equal rights for both men and women. Because don't mind you, we have women out there that got some idiots for men that don't do nothing at all. Yep. So this is not about forming an association to bash women. This is a forming association because in the whole perspective of this thing, I gone past men and I gone past women. I'm looking at society as a whole.
But that was the question. It was about
you understand? Yes. I'm looking at society as a whole.
Yes, treated
fairly
as human persons.
Human persons, right? Now, outside of that, when you hear, I've heard a minister say he can't understand how society has gotten to this and he can't understand why we are not our brothers keepers anymore. But if you keep bashing a man and you remove the male figure from out of society, from out of the children that are now coming up lives, what do you expect? Because a child can't speak for itself. Who's there to speak for it? So when, like in a case, my 8-year-old daughter looked at me and told me, Daddy, and this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here today. This is what got me angry, right? Because I've went through it with my first. It didn't get bad, but my second son, I all know we're going through hell with my second son. You know what I mean? That's another big story that we can, you know. But my little girl looked at me the other day and told me, Daddy, I know. And I'm driving, looking at her, and she's, you know, this is like early this year, in January or February. And she said, no, sorry, it was a couple months ago, just before school went out. And she said, Daddy, I said, baby, but you know, I ain't getting to see you how we were like. And she went like, I know, Daddy. Only 8 years old. And she went like, but Daddy, I want you to know that I understand. I said, well, you understand. I understand, Daddy, what mommy doing is wrong. But at the same time, I could deal with it. I do not want you to say anything. I said, but why? Because if I'm not getting to see you, Daddy must say something. Because you here telling me that you're missing granny, you're missing your sister, you're missing spending time with the family. But yet, you here telling me, don't do anything. Give me a reason why. She said, but you know that if I do this, if you say anything, you know how mommy can get on. And when mommy get on, you know that mommy can be threatened all the time. And I really don't want mommy and my ears threatened all the time. So I can deal with it. Please don't say anything. 8 years old.
All right, let me do this. It's 23 minutes after 11 o'clock. We open the telephone lines at this time, 434-1790. Of course, you can send your WhatsApp to 266-4862. Let's pull a little bit off of the WhatsApp. We're going to play this clip. I haven't forgotten, Cammy. This one says, good morning. You all know that some fathers don't support their children. And I want to say, yes, we know that. This one says, great morning, gentlemen. I'm thankful for this program because for many years now, women have used the man for money, and that's all they're interested in. Many women only want money regardless of if the father is a father or not. The money is spent on the women, not the child. The court is biased, and something has to be done to stop this. I know this for a fact. I'm going to go over to the chat. The chat is a little different. The chat is saying, why do we need an organization for big men and women to live together in peace? It comes down to each individual practicing charity. If you have love in your heart, you will extend it to others.
Nice.
Two other comments here. It says, I don't believe it is an imbalance. The problem is most men do not take their problems to court, so the court cannot pass judgment before them. And I may be biased because my father was a no good man. So, interesting. Don't let me go any further. Let's play this clip. Let's take in some calls. And then we're going to come back to you, the panel. Just hit.
Challenger parenting stereotypes, which are at the root of a very serious problem affecting millions of families worldwide. This is not going to be comfortable for most of you. We know that racial stereotypes are very resistant to change, and we learn those by age 5. Our parenting stereotypes are closely tied to the traditional gender roles of our parents, and we learn those by age 2. Our parenting stereotypes contribute to a problem known as parental alienation. Parental alienation involves a set of behaviors that one parent does to damage, destroy, or sever the relationship between their children and the other parent. These behaviors range widely in their severity and include things such as bad-mouthing the child to the other parent, or the parent to the child, and making that child afraid to be with that parent. Many parents who are alienated are falsely accused of abuse as a strategy to get custody. Psychologists have long documented these behaviors among divorced, separated, and even intact families. And parental alienation does not discriminate. It affects same-sex and different-sex relationships. It affects people of all racial groups, economic, and income levels. Many parents, grandparents, step-parents, and extended family members are affected by this problem. Based on my research, I estimate about 13% of parents in this room have been targets of parental alienation. That's over 22 million American adults alone. Some people have characterized parental alienation as a form of child abuse. And the impact on children is severe. Children consider both parents important for their identity. And when they are led to believe that one part of their identity is bad or doesn't love them, this has disastrous consequences for their development. Many alienated children develop psychological disorders, suffer academic decline, and have an inability to develop healthy relationships themselves. Many are suicidal. But parental alienation is a form of indirect aggression. The true target of this aggression is the other parent, and children are their weapons. Therefore, parental alienation is a form of domestic violence. And the impact on the targeted parent is also severe. Imagine your child suddenly believing horrible things about you, told by the other parent. Trying to correct them will not change their opinion of you, and in fact, typically pushes them closer to the alienator.
And that was a little clip giving us an explanation on a broader level.
You know, I've listened to your reading of those WhatsApp and those text messages. We do have a problem, and the problem is severe in this country, but nobody wants to speak to the issue in terms of how men have been treated within the system. Our society always sees the man as the aggressor, even within our court systems, and I have no apology for this here. The men are always seen as guilty until proven innocent. And I've heard so many stories where women have used their emotional intelligence to get their way in court at the expense of men. You have situations in this country where the maintenance is supposed to follow children. The children live one place and the mother lives somewhere else. I have known of a situation where a private investigator was also engaged to prove that the child does not live with the parent, and it was not accepted. You have situations in this country where a man said to me, and I'm saying a man said to me, he was on welfare and he was incarcerated. And when he was taken to the magistrate who signed the arrest warrant, he was told the magistrate was too busy to see him, and he spent 8 days in prison. Then we have another man who said to me he was not gainfully employed, despite the social report was saying that he was not gainfully employed. He was incarcerated for 43 days. Now you tell me if those things are correct. When men also say to me that they go to court and they're told, I don't want to hear from you. Now, we have a classic. We're in January this year. A lady called me and said to me, you know what? Mr. Wall, I need to speak to you. My boyfriend is suicidal. He took it upon himself from a previous relationship to build a house, even put up picket fence and so forth. They broke up, had one child, she put him in court. He had a loan paying for this woman, went to court with his expenses. And when he sought to show the magistrate that his net pay was 200, the magistrate was saying he has to go to a funeral. And declared in the most malicious way, chip in and said, let him afford the 260. Now that man now has to find $260 on a net pay of $200. Now you tell me if that is due process, if it's natural justice in this country. Nobody wants to speak to those things. I've said to men, if they figure they've been hard done by the judicial system, write the Chief Justice, go to the appeals court, appeal to the Chief Magistrate, because all of us have a boss. The scales of justice dictates that yes, all of us may have a bias, but there's no bias is to be shown in our country. I must also say that the court has placed too much emphasis on just the financial support of children and fails to look at the emotional health of those children. Our society, yes, is materialistic. But what about the emotional health of our children? We see the figures in the prison system years afterwards because of those children being alienated. And I'm glad that we have the person who is responsible for children's rights on behalf of the United Nations here today, because it needs to be spoken to. Our legislation, as well as the Maintenance Act, is empty. It does not seek to enforce the same level of penalties as it relates to default of this maintenance. And therefore, it's time enough that women are punished the same way that men are paid for breach of maintenance act.
All right, let me jump in here. The lines are full now. So I want to do this right here, right now, so that we can keep this program moving. Two more WhatsApps. It says, good morning, Corey. Is the program organized for disgruntled men to vent? This is how it's coming over to me. Please let us have a cordial and dispassionate program. So just bear that in mind. This one, it says, good morning. Thank you for this theme today. I like your topics on Sunday. Look forward to them. I wonder if we'll hear Dennis Johnson's voice today too. Glad to hear Ken Husband's. I agree with his views on the organizations. That is my thinking too. Now I can read this one, and this one ties into what we're going to do next. The issue will go nowhere, and this is from Oletule Waldron. The issue will go nowhere until we can get to hear from someone from the judiciary or judicial officer who will deal with the cases of child support and custody. Simply reciting the same old rant time after time will do nothing. Get a magistrate or a judge to speak to the issue. If they can't come to the studio, tape them and integrate it into the discussion. I want to take this opportunity to welcome former Magistrate Faith Marshall Harris to the studio and say good morning and welcome and thank you for coming.
Morning.
Good morning. Morning. Morning.
Now, I don't know if you've heard the program thus far, but I was saying that what I want to do specifically is to interrogate specific parts of this debate. When we throw everything into the pot, it gets a little confusing and emotional. Ooh. So what I wanted to look at particularly today was the whole issue of men stepping forward and saying, look, I feel aggrieved by the court system. I feel like we've been unfair. I feel like we don't get a fair hearing. We've heard anecdotal, yes, but still a thread coming through where in particular men are saying they speak to women a particular way in court. And when it comes to the man, I don't want to hear you're a liar. And they feel, you know, belittled by that. And they feel like there's no fair process, no justice for them. And I think you are well placed to really speak to this.
Let me say hastily, because I've had this sort of confrontational exercise before on another station, and I made the point then, and I want to make the point again. Mr. Holden, I do not necessarily stand on opposite sides of this issue, but I don't think I'm getting him to hear it. Secondly, I cannot speak, I pointed this out then too, I cannot speak on behalf of the judiciary for several salient reasons. And one is that I have retired from the bench and would not dare to speak on behalf of any member of the judiciary. And most importantly, I don't think any one member of the judiciary can make a representation because we are all independent judges. Magistrates, judges, whatever, there's an independence. So the remedy is, in law, that if you are aggrieved by the process, the manner, whatever that happens in your case, you go to the Court of Appeal. Now, if you tell me that there's a cost involved on these issues relating to children and family, there is legal aid. You have to, I told Mr. Holder this already, you have to use the processes of the court. Whether you, well, you may, obviously, with merit say at this time, that because there's a lot of delay in the court system and because of the issues at White Park, that it may be a bit difficult to get your matter through. But I can tell you for one, that I have represented since I left the bench, and I'm in private practice, I have represented many men on this issue. And sometimes it does not go as far as the court because you can sometimes talk your way.
I'm sorry.
And if you can, people explain to women, and this is what I'm here for to do today, because I think that we get a little too emotional and overwrought and we forget the balance. But if both sides can understand what is at stake, and that's where I come in, because my cause is really children and family. Mm-hmm. If you can understand that that is really the basic issue, a lot of this anger and aggression would cease.
A particular question, though, in terms of you have a case where you feel as though the magistrate is not giving you a fair hearing and so on, the recourse is the Court of Appeal, or is there another way to address a magistrate that you believe is not treating you fairly?
It's the Court of Appeal.
Court of Appeal, okay.
And
okay.
There's the magisterial, there is a magisterial appeal that goes straight to the Court of Appeal. It doesn't go to another judge. It goes to the Court of Appeal and to the highest court in the land at the moment.
But
so,
it costs again.
But as I pointed out, there is legal aid
right. And there's a cost. There's a cost not to pursue it as well. There is a serious cost not to. Ken, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, apart from saying that my time is up, way past my bedtime. good morning, ma'am. I just want to say that I think that we are somehow not, or we have not dealt with the cause as much as we have kind of dealt with the effect. We don't have mad men in Barbados. We don't have mad women in Barbados. When a male sees a female, he don't say, hey, look, a female go there and dash after her and start vice versa. So I think that we need to look more closely at the causes of most of these problems and spend a lot more time dealing with the reasons for domestic violence, the reasons for a lot of these things. Because all we hear is that he's a jealous man, she's a jealous woman, and it just done. You know, but somebody dies. You understand? He's a silly man. She's a confused woman. This kind of simplistic kind of explanations to these very serious matters, I think we need to rewind regardless to how long it takes, and look to see why this thing is happening, because it is happening. It is very, very repetitive, and it's becoming putrid. So there's no saying that we can look at it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's no saying anything other than there is a reason why this thing is happening over and over and over and over. Let us see why and see if we can deal with the cause. As we all know, all of us went to the same university or different types, and we learned to read the same books. So don't let us come back here and pretend that we don't know that you have to deal with the causes.
It's not easy, Ken.
I didn't say it was. I didn't say it was.
Right. Sorry, and I don't think anybody's pretending anything. I'm sorry that you may have misunderstood the point.
I wasn't referring specifically to what you were saying. Sorry, ma'am.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, yes, this is why I'm here, because I am really very deeply interested in the causes for your discomfort. Because actually, there are a lot of biases in our society. Mm-hmm. There are biases that police officers display because they are a part of society. There are probably biases where even members of the judiciary display. But we always have to approach it by the point of view is that we've got to go through what processes are available to us. Otherwise, we'll be forever raising our voices in anger. And we've got to understand, and this is why I agree with you about root causes, and this is why I'm here. I want us to go back to cause.
Thank you.
So you mentioned that before I did, because in point of fact, one of the difficulties that we are having in Barbados is that this thing becomes recurrent because children are raised in an atmosphere of adversarial relationships between their parents. Whether the parents are living together or not living together, most of our children seem to live in an atmosphere where one is fighting the other. So inevitably, this is what they learn. This is how the children are not born with this instinct. They learn this. Then they take this to school. They take it to the playground. They take it on the school bus because we are forever fighting.
But we need to bring
this cycle. Let me add to what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, but Corey keeps saying that we need to get to the magistrate courts and the courts, but the courts ain't really to blame, you know, Corey. Mm-hmm. The court should be the last place that any of this should get to.
Anything should go.
Exactly. You understand what I'm saying? The courts is the last place. There's my point here. Now, let me make this point clear. We have social services. We have the child care board.
Churches.
Who do not really have a follow-up mandate and how to deal with these cases.
Okay, lawyers.
I want to jump in here. I agree, and I think sometimes we got to walk and chew gum. We got to look at this simultaneously because I am, you know, my favorite thing is solution. My favorite thing solution is root cause. But at the same time, while we're looking at the root causes, there are men coming to me in droves giving me their particular situation while they are in court today.
But let me give you the story. Let me give you the story. Listen to me. You have a lot of these men, and I guess if you talk to them, because I listen to a lot, even young men. Mm-hmm. I got 18-year-olds that I speak to. They're in court for a child, which ain't at 18 years old, you're not even a man yet. Why are you in court for a child with a 21-year-old girl or 18-year-old girl? Where did she learn that from? My thing is this. You got the courts crowded with all of these issues, and we expect a magistrate or a judge to make a decision on the case in 15, 20 minutes. Could never happen. Because the magistrate is going off of what she's saying. She's trying to figure out, or he is trying to figure out, which one? I'm going to really tell the truth in a short space
of time. And they were not there.
And you understand what I mean? Now, this is my thing. Social services, child care board. When you go to them, they can only do so much. The child care board is the first place that these things should be seriously dealt with.
Through mediation.
That when you get to the point of court, the court then asks for a report. And a true report is made based on the assessment of both homes.
Could I just jump in for 1 minute? Because you're so much on the right track. I have my legislation here.
Good.
Because actually within the Child Care Board Act, and I'll speak further to what I think should be the solution, there is that provision for counsel. So the first bastion should be that you've gone to the Child Care Board, you've told them the problem, and they are supposed to start helping with family counseling. But no, I'm not here to say what
good.
I am not going right. to indulge in what is not happening. I'm going to tell you what my prescription is right. for the future, because I am an optimist. I am a, you know, someone looking to the future. And
I'm backing you with that
and,
one.
And I've spent
I can follow you with that
and,
one.
And I've spent the last 6 years in advocacy, begging for these things that I'm talking about today to happen. Mm. I'm heartbroken that so after many. 6 years, they still have not been put in place, except a few little tweaks here and there. And I am begging the authorities
But this is where we find...
Because the learning is that we have done the research, we've done the work. I've done a white paper. I have gathered information from persons like yourself. I've done town hall meetings. I gathered it all into one document and made recommendations. Almost everything you spoke about so far, I was listening, coming to hear.
What's the name of that document? Because I think you just need an extra thrust and push behind it.
Right.
You want to change the color, bro?
No. So the squeaking wheel gets the oil. Start squeaking.
There are several documents, but the main... One was a review of the laws relating to women, children, and families in Barbados. So, and in that review, don't mind it's just a review. Mm-hmm. It was a review, and then with the solutions based on the review. That is, I made.
I know where I'm going with this. You know, the problem in here, women, children, and laws. The men left out.
I didn't say that. I did not say that. I said women, children, and family.
The men get special mention. No, that's all. Go ahead.
The reason they didn't get special mention is that this consultancy was ordered by UNICEF, given certain treaties, particular treaties, which had to do with.
I agree, you know.
Just a minute. CEDAW, which was one of the treaties which had to do with women. Mm-hmm. It had to do with CRC, which had to do with children. Mm-hmm. And then we injected families because obviously that has to be the tie-up between how you those treaties are. Now the point is, and whether you want to accept it or not, statistically, there are more men who fail to pay child support or give, and I am one of these people who believe that support and maintenance goes way beyond money. That was one of the main thrusts in that document.
That's what we're listening for.
That actually child support includes, I call it baby minding.
Thank you.
It includes substituting various services that a man can supply if he doesn't have the ready cash.
Thank you.
We need to negotiate those things in our society for them to understand that where somebody does not have the money, if they can give value to their child's life.
But that goes this back. Morning, that goes
but
back
I'm
now.
Just trying to tell you that I am trying to get it into
the
loop.
Let the lady finish.
I agree.
This morning, looking at the maintenance act, right? I'm saying this is so empty.
But I am saying to you Mr. Holder, you know, you sat on panels before. I've told you that it was recommended. There comes a point of time, and I call myself a rights activist. You know, and it's not just men's women's
rights.
That's
why I love you.
It's men's rights, children's rights, because you can't be an advocate for children's rights without being an advocate for men's rights. And by the way, I told you before, this is not about anybody else's rights but the child's rights.
Ah.
A child has a right to the love, affection, bonding, and guidance of two parents because they were produced by two parents. And that is men and women should be able to access and help raise the child. It's a child's right. What? So if you start seeing it from that point of view, neither the man or the woman should be prancing up because they would realize that if my child does not see his or her father, I've deprived my child of something.
I didn't hear that.
Clearly. Each party, make a general. If each party would recognize that when I deprive my child of seeing the other parent, I have deprived my child of something very, very valuable.
Very valuable.
I have denied my child a basic right. And if you start seeing it that way, both sides see it that way, there can be no fight because you've made this child and you want to bring up the child to the nearest thing to perfection that you can.
And happiness.
Right. And actually that is contained in the convention that we signed up to, that we that the CRC, the Convention on Rights of the Child, recognizes that a child is entitled to be brought up in a family situation of harmony and love and peace.
I tell you, well, much of that,
that is the entitlement.
Much of those rights are being infringed, I could tell you. It's just gone 30 minutes before noon. This is Brass Tack Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Brazil has taken
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.